games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome into the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. We're presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He's the former head football coach at Brookfield East, Tom Swiddle. Coach, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Good. What a great day.
Oh, beautiful day.
Yeah, it's nice out there. We got a fun show today.
We sure do.
Man, our first couple segments, Tony Rush from Raising the Stakes and Team Escape 262 is in studio with us, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about some of the things that he's got going on. At 10:30, we're going to be joined by Dan Brunner's coming in studio. John Hoke, WFCA Hall of Fame chairman, and we've got a segment. We're going to set up the next half hour. After that, we're going to announce the WFCA Hall of Fame class with Dan for 2018. That's awesome.
Yeah,
look forward to that. At 11:30, Chris Williams, the head football coach and director of football operations for the Green Bay Blizzard Indoor Football League, is going to join us, and I look forward to talking to him. Tony, how you been?
I've been fantastic. What a beautiful day. Thanks for having me in. Good to see you, fellas.
Yeah, it's good to see you as well. Thank you for all that you do, not only for, you know, this show and this station, but certainly for the teams that you work with. Been busy for you? It's been a good year?
It's been a great year. Some great new relationships, and certainly continue to work with some phenomenal coaches and kids that we've been fortunate enough to work with for up to the last 14 years I've been in the industry.
Man, Tom, the people over at Raising Stakes did a great job for you at Brookfield East.
They did, and I've said this often, but every fundraising goal we ever had, we were able to achieve with Raising the Stakes, and they contributed a lot to my football program.
Boy, that's awesome. Tony, let's talk, if we can, about Raising the Stakes. But I want to also talk a little bit about Team Escape 262. That's something that is new, and we're going to get into that in a minute. The Raising the Stakes, fundraising, leadership development, I know that part is keeping you pretty busy. I mean, you guys are doing some great work.
Very busy. Again, with the kids and the coaches and the communities that we're able to partner with and work, we always want to provide a great quality product, great quality service, and then as much as possible, help develop leadership and character in the young people that we get the opportunity to cross paths with. We are diligent in continuing to stay out ahead of things. This past Tuesday, we met with a new company, extremely pumped up. It's a company out of Oshkosh that makes drinkware, and they have invited us to partner with them. Not only do they have the licensed products, you know, we'll be able to sell NCAA and NFL and hockey and stuff like that. They make custom cups, which we're really excited about. So we can now take Brookfield East logo, make a really cool design, and have that product for people, not only in a regular drink cup, but an insulated one you got a cover on so that you can have your coffee or tea or whatever warm beverage you want to keep in there. So it's exciting for us to add that to our repertoire.
Let me tell you the heart of Tony Rush real quick, all right? Tom, I didn't tell you this story, but I'm going to tell it to you now. I've got a really good friend of mine whose grandson had gotten really sick, and he's doing better now. Not doing great yet, but he will, and he's still fighting, a good fight. And he was in Children's Hospital for a long time, and I came out of the air and talked about doing a fundraiser, and I laughed because he was the only Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan that I've ever met. And I said, even the people in Tampa Bay are Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans. And unbeknownst to me, Tony Rush was listening. And he called me and he said, hey, I got something for your friend. And I said, I'm sorry, what do you mean? He said, your buddy, his grandson, who's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, wants you to come out. Team Escape, I want to show you around. I got a little something for him. I said, oh, that's great. Tom, he didn't just have something for me. He had a mini refrigerator, Tampa Bay Buccaneer logo on. He had cups and hats. And I mean, so when this kid came out of Children's Hospital and he got home, in his room was the Tampa Bay Buccaneer refrigerator, so that he had a hard time because he would be in a wheelchair for a while, so that he could have his water or his soft drink right next to him. and in the cup with the Tampa Bay. That's the kind of heart that this guy has, and I can't thank him enough for the stuff that he does. He's done for me personally, and he's done for friends of mine. But that isn't just from him. That's the mission statement, I think, Tony, behind raising the stakes, correct?
Well, I appreciate you trying to make me cry right away this morning.
Yeah, I know. Well, you, it took me to tears. So
you and I are both big softies. But yeah, that's when I formulated my team. The guys that are part of raising the stakes, we're all dads. We're all coaches. We are as good a husbands as we can be. But our mission is to make a difference in the world. Bottom line, everything set aside. Let's do what's right. No matter what that looks like, and make it happen. So I appreciate the kind words, and we're always honored to step up as much as possible to help people. That's bottom line.
And that is certainly something, Tony, that everybody recognizes. Anybody who's had contact with you for any reason at all knows that that is who you are, and I've always appreciated that as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Tony, let's talk a little bit about Team Escape 262 Menominee Falls. It is, I've been out there. It's pretty cool. It's really cool. Tell me a little bit about how that process started and some of the cool things. It is, right on Appleton Avenue. It's easy to find. And let me give you the phone number real quick, and I'll do that throughout the next couple of, segments. It's 262-415-5520. Go to teamescape262.com. When you start hearing about this thing, you're going to want to get, you know, your company, your group, your team, your friends, your family involved with this. Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing in Menominee Falls. And where do you find the time to do all this stuff, by the way?
Well, you think I'm busy. My roommate from college, Pat Venable, lives up in the Kimberley area. And he has a restaurant. He has a sports park. He has two escape rooms, one in Appleton, one in Green Bay. He's got a laundromat, and he's part owner in a real estate company. Plus, he has two of his own kids, two adopted girls from Guatemala, and he's adopted two of his nephews. So, and he hunts and fishes, and he does an unbelievable job. So he's the one that really got me going on this escape room concept. He said it was going great. It was a lot of fun. People loved it. And with our mission, with raising the stakes to take care of people, it's a great weave the two companies together, because now we can do team building for coaches. We can bring them in the door, and the kids can go in the rooms and play. The coaches can put the headset on with our game master, the person who watches and hears everything, gives the clues and helps them kind of navigate through if they get stuck. We've had a number of coaches come out now. Dave Keel has brought his leadership council. He and Coach Yedis sat with headphones on and got to watch those kids in the room. You know, we put them through some tough situations. Let's see how they respond. And afterwards, Coach Keel and Coach Ida said, man, what a great tool as a coach to be able to watch these kids and hear what they're thinking and see them respond and work together. He said there were a couple kids that he was surprised. He knew they were good kids, and they were on their way to being leaders, but they took a huge step forward and grabbing the reins and pulling their teammates through. So we offer that to all teams. This isn't just about football. You know, again, we've talked about this a few times. The misconception is raising the stakes is football, football, football. There is not a nonprofit athletic program, specialized organization that we haven't had the privilege to work with. We've had Coach Groff and Coach Fink from Kettle Moraine bring their girls softball varsity team in. They did the same thing, had a phenomenal time. So we are honored to have all teams come in, but it's a great thing for us because we can now do more to help build character and leadership in these kids.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Randy Farrell, who's just in, and the head wrestling coach from West Dallas Hill, said, hey, we got to go. We're doing a car wash. And they're doing it, I think, at the Burger King down on Highway 100 in West Dallas. And we both kind of laughed and said, look, you're going to, you know, you may raise a couple $100 doing a car wash. It's by donation only today. And I said, you need to start working with Tony. And all of a sudden his eyes lit up and he came back in the building. And I think, you know, for you, people do have to understand that it's any nonprofit, any sports team. You know, you've cut your teeth on with football because you know all these guys. But let's make sure that other youth programs in other sports give you a shot at trying to raise him some money?
Yeah, for us, I think from fifth, sixth grade, when the kids are starting old enough to be old enough to understand kind of how things operate, and you can really start to instill a lot of good character stuff into them, we can take groups from fifth grade on through whatever. We've got a bunch of, like, Kohl's Corporate and some of the big corporations have come in and done team building. And in addition to just being able to sit as a coach and watch and have the headphones on, or you can join your team in the room, and then they play, we have Papa John's and Domino's are right next door to us, so we can cater in. Raising the Stakes does a burgers, brats, dog luncheon or dinner, so we can have you in at any time. And then today is a great example. Deerfield, Coach Swieger is coming out. I've never met him. Really pumped. After I leave here, I go back to Team Escape. He's bringing his whole football team from Deerfield in today. They're going to play, and then we're going to feed them some pizza. And Coach Keel from Homestead is going to come in and give them about a 45-minute to an hour talk about leadership afterwards. And it's just a great day for those kids.
Team Escape is almost – it fits in really well with Raising the Stakes fundraising. Did you know that? Did you have an idea that you were going to put these two kind of together in all this?
That was the driving force to do this for me. You know, the escape room, I had the opportunity to go with Pat, my wife. We played. It was a cool concept, cool thing. But we said, how can we take it? Because Pat, up in Appleton and Green Bay, he's got corporations that come in, but they play and they leave. Their facilities aren't quite as extensive as ours with a conference room and the ability to do the catering stuff that we do. So we said, how can we weave them perfectly and make this about teams? Obviously, we want everybody from the general public to come in and enjoy. We've got 110-plus five-star ratings. People absolutely love it, have a great time. We've had multiple people come back to play our other rooms. And we wouldn't have done it if we didn't think that we could have that same impact on the world that our fundraising company does.
You know, Tony, in having this discussion right now, I mean, time-wise, it's just perfect for any – fall team, a football, cross country, soccer, whatever it is. I just think this is a great time to talk about Team Escape and all the things that you do in terms of team building and leadership, because every coach I know that's looking at their season starting shortly, you know, football, it's August 1st, you know, they're looking for these kinds of activities. And this is something that you will want to do as a football coach or a coach, as I said, of any fall sport.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Guys, we got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation with Tony Resch. He's the owner of Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development, one of the owners of Team Escape 262. They're located in Menominee Falls. Go online, teamescape262.com. One word, teamescape262.com for more information. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is Tom Swiddle. He is the past president of the WFCA. He's a Hall of Fame member and former head football coach, I guess most recently at Brookfield East, but yeah. Tosa East and Dominican,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, been around.
But he's now retired. Now he just hangs out with me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We're also joined by Tony Resch. He is the owner of Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development, one of the owners of Team Escape 262. Again, teamescape262.com for more information. During the break, Tony, I convinced you. I twisted your arm a little bit, said, hey, why don't you give some stuff away, Matt? What can we give away? You're like, I got some stuff I can give away. So I'm going to give phone number once now, once at the end of this segment. But people that you're going to give away two different items, correct?
Right, we're going to go with a team building at Team Escape 262 for any coach, whether we work with you in fundraising or we don't. We would just love to see you. Coach Swieger today, Deerfield. Again, I've never met him. Looking forward to meeting him. We certainly haven't had an opportunity to cross paths.
How many kids are coming today?
He figured about 25 to 28 kids he'd have with him today and a few coaches as well.
All right, so if you're a coach that's looking for a team building thing,
team
and
building.
And you're going to give one away to the first coach that calls.
We're going to give a free team building away for up to you, your staff, and 15 of your players at no charge. And we'll talk about price in a little bit, what we normally do, because we want to make it affordable for students and student athletes.
I've got to give the phone number out.
There you go. Give the phone number out.
Maybe I'll just text you myself and use it for where I coach, but I won't do that. 262-227-7732. 262-227-7732. First coach to call, you're going to take care of them.
Yeah, they can call or text. Since I'll be on the show for the next 10 minutes, I'd prefer a text at this point.
Yeah,
not
you
a
got
phone
your
call.
Phone turned down?
I do have the ringer off right now.
Send a text. 262-227-7732. Second thing,
if you are a team looking to fundraise in any sport, any nonprofit organization, be the first one today to call me after the show and run a fundraiser with us. We will throw in our brand new custom cups with your logo. We'll get it designed for you. We have a 200 cup minimum and 100 minimum on the insulated with lids. We will cover that cost as part of your fundraiser, so you'll get that for free. And as a huge bonus, I will throw in a pallet of water for your concession stand free. There's 1,248 bottles. You can sell it for $1 or $2 and make between $1,200 and $2,500 for your program in addition to that. So be the first organization to call me after 10:30, and we will get you going with that as well.
Randy Farrell, you listening? 262-227-7732. 262-227-7732. Hey, Team Escape 262, has it gone the way you thought? It's hard to start a new business. And I was there when you guys were putting the walls up. So difficult keeping you up at night, or has it been everything you had hoped it'd be?
I don't have any problems sleeping. We started out on a really nice pace. Our team members we've got a great mix of high school kids, a couple college kids, and some people with some more experience in the world, and they've been able to settle in and learn their job, and they do a phenomenal job, obviously, with over 100 plus 5-star reviews. So I was very comfortable. We do a really nice job of taking care of people. That was my goal, my mission, and Rome wasn't built in a day, nor was Team Escape 262. We're at the point now where we are ready to handle a ton of people. And so our only issue right now is we just need more people to show up.
Okay.
And by being here and the invitation to come here today, so greatly appreciated. My co-owners, Steve and Patrick, were like, what a great thing. Make sure to thank Coach Swiddle and Mr. McGivern. And so thank you, men, for the opportunity. But now it's just a matter of, hey, come on. You're going to have a great time, I can assure you. And we'd love to see you there.
Now, we're throwing out the name Team Escape, but what is it teams or corporate groups, what do they actually do? I mean, how do they team build and that kind of thing? What is it that they're doing when they're with you?
So when they go in the room, you've got 60 minutes to play the escape room, and we set up the room where there's a lot of clues and puzzles that you have to solve. You have to use some math skills. You have to use your brain. It's more of a
Swiddle, we're out.
I'll bring TC.
Bring TC. We're not bringing Brunner
I don't know what we'll bring Dan for, but
it's really a brain exercise. But it really, you have to, because you can't all work in one spot in the room. You have to move around the room. So we recommend people break off in teams of two or three, but then you have to collaborate and work together. So whether you're a corporation and you're looking to build culture, develop more culture so that people are used to working together, you know, different departments sometimes clash. Teams, it's the same thing. Sometimes the defense and the offense get after it a little bit more in practice. And, you know, when you're on the field and you're the same team, you want to work together to make each other better. So that's really the goal when people come in specific for team building. We have families come in, and you know how families can be. They walk out and everybody's smiling. Everybody's had a great time, and it's something that's a lifelong memory that we've created, because they talk about, oh, remember when this happened or that happened, and they respond so positively to the situation that they've been put in to come together.
Our producer Jeff, you went there with your family to Team Escape.
Yeah, I had, it was four adults and three little kids, 10, 7, and 4. And we did the hidden recipe room, their kitchen escape room. It was fantastic. Everybody from, unfortunately, I was the oldest, to the 4-year-old, we all had a blast. It was a great time. Great time.
Yeah, and we've got the hidden recipe, like he mentioned. It's a kitchen theme. So if you're someone who's in the culinary thing, you really have a good time. But we designed that room specifically with all the other companies down here that have escape rooms, which they all do a really nice job. We want other people in the industry to do a great job so that our industry can thrive. So I appreciate all the people in the Metro Milwaukee area. But we've got the kitchen theme for families, more ladies' night out. They have a phenomenal time, bachelorette parties. And then we've got a pirate theme. And then we've got a prison theme, which I think, Mike, that you should probably start there.
That's Brunner's deal. The prison theme.
In fact, Brunner was in helping to design that. He knows a lot about
escape
that whole prison thing.
With Dan Brunner.
We added the handcuffs specifically for him.
That's more of a, yeah, anyway, I'm not going there. Because this is a
high school.
This is
a family show.
This is a family show. Do you get people from, well, you've got somebody, where is the group coming today?
Deerfield. Yeah, about a little over an hour away, I would say, when it's all said and done. And we've had, people from West Bend and Cedarburg. We've got our fundraising cards that we do. We've started to put our offers on there, and we've got people coming in from miles away. We're the furthest north escape room in the Metro Milwaukee area, which for West Bend and Cedarburg, Grafton, Mequon is an easy drive.
Tony, you've gone to the other ones,
and we've played all of them.
Yeah, they're fun. What sets yours apart, do you think?
Well, I would say ease of location to get to our facility for sure. You don't have to go downtown and deal with traffic. You don't have to go to the third floor of an office building where there's nothing marked. We also have a conference room where we can hold up to about 30 people. And then in addition to that, when we do, we had the Richardson School in. Great group of teachers who take care of special needs kids from ages 6 to 21. And they've got different locations in the state, but they had a day off a couple Fridays ago. And we have a room that will eventually be our fourth escape room. We currently set up as a little banquet room where we set up our buffet. And then they grab their plate full of food and they can go in our conference room. And again, with our leadership conference, we've got coaches that can come in and speak to your team about leadership.
Tony, it's good to see you.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you coming in. Again, TeamEscape, 262.com. And for what we were doing on those giveaways, the phone number, 262-227-7732. 262-227-7732. Tony, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Great to see you. It looks like I got a few winners here already, their phone number, so I'll have to call them back. But excited about that for sure. And I really appreciate it, fellas. It's a great relationship. You guys are great men, and we wouldn't have it any other way. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tony. To get to a break, other side of the break, John Hoke and Dan Brunner. We've been ripping on Dan. He gets a shot at ripping us back now. We're put him in front of a microphone. Going to join us on the other side of the break. This is the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle. We're joined by Dan Brunner. We're ripping on Brunner. Now he's got a chance to rip back at us. Dan, it's good to see you, Coach. How you been?
I saw him taking notes. He's written some things down.
Man, nobody rips Brunner the way we do, I don't think.
No.
Dan, how you been?
Good, Mike. Good to see you guys, as always.
It's good to see you. Family's good? Everybody's good?
Doing real well. Yep.
This is a fun time of year for you guys.
Absolutely.
Get to kind of talk a little bit about 2018 Hall of Fame class, and we'll do more of that. You're going to announce who that is coming up next segment. We want to kind of set this up. I got a chance to go to Lambeau Field last week. And I got to tell you the story. I go, and you know, I'm pretty kind of excited the plaque is going to be there, and walk in and I look at it and it was cooler than I thought it was going to be. And a woman walked up behind me. She goes, "Oh, man." I go, "Yeah, that's me." She goes, "Yeah, I don't care about that. Aren't you John McGivern's brother?" And I said, "No, man, look, this is me. I'm right above Vince Lombardi." She goes, "I don't know who that is. I don't really care. Is he funny all the time?"
Oh, man.
I laughed for an hour. I'm telling you, it was my wife burst out laughing and said, "You know, just when you think maybe you're getting big time, somebody's going to pull you down." So I really appreciate that. That's a really, I haven't been to Lambeau Field in a while. So we were celebrating our 34th wedding anniversary. We went to a bed and breakfast and then went over there. It was really cool. I mean, the feeling you get when you walk up and you're like, man, you're in good company in that corner, I'll tell you.
Well, first of all, the fact that we have a relationship with the Packers to be able to do that, to put all of our, you know, Hall of Fame stuff there you know, our conference champions and coaches. I mean, we just have a corner there in that atrium that is just really nice to have. But, in order or to be able to put all of our Hall of Fame stuff there it is really special. And your reaction, Mike, is the same reaction that most people have once they go up there and see their name in that display.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, really impressive. And you get a little nervous for some, you know, you get a little like, and there's people kind of walking around and I thought, well, you know, Terry, we'll take a quick picture and get out of there. But you kind of stay and start reading everybody's and remember that night and how cool that whole night was. How do you guys, can I ask, how did you come together as a group and start thinking of guys or do other people nominate guys? What is the process on that?
There is a nomination process in which a WFCA member can nominate somebody for the Hall of Fame. And once that name is received by Sharna Kelsey, our executive administrative assistant, Sharna will connect with those nomination people and send them the paperwork that they have to do. So there's a little bit of work involved because you're obviously trying to summarize your coaching career in a matter of a couple sheets of paper. Yeah. And you know, once all the nominations come in, Sharna gathers that, puts it together, and gets it out to the Hall of Fame committee that then meet to make the selections.
Boy, a lot of work. She's unbelievable, by the way.
She
is on top of stuff, man. You know, when she says, "Look, you know, here's your ticket. Send me a check by the 15th," and she's like, "Hey, don't forget. You know, the 15th is coming up. I need your bio." So,
just to build on what Tom said too, and it's kind of tough because as successful as a lot of these nominees are, they're also very humble people. And you really got to twist their arm to get them to brag about their careers a little bit because you want all that information. And a lot of these guys don't want to toot their own horn.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that.
No, I know that.
We had to cut yours down.
Yeah, I had like 17 more pages that I was, and that was just through grades. No, I'm kidding. You know what? It is that part of it is a little bit difficult. In fact, I had my brother John help me write that part of it because he's a really good writer when it comes to that kind of stuff. And when you read it, you can almost hear some of the stuff that if you've ever seen him in what he does, you can almost read that and say, boy, his brother may have helped him a little bit with that.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing is there are, as Dan mentioned, there are so many great nominees that, you know, it's a difficult task, obviously. But, you know, there are some people we carry on for a couple of years before, you know, it's not like you get nominated 1 year and if you don't get in that year, you're never going to get in. You know, we review old, nominations at that time and we truly try to pick the best, class in any given year. And we usually have about, 10 to 12 maybe, Dan, a year, you know, that get honored in that way. And there's different categories, too. You know, we have head coaches, we have what we call combo, which is, you know, somebody who maybe half his career was as an assistant, half as a head coach. We have some that go in strictly as assistant coaches. And we also have a college division, if you will, that, you know, we try to honor a college coach every year. Well, and that, a citation. We have a citation.
That night was incredible. It was really well run. Dave Keel did a great job emceeing it. My family, that the people that I had at the tables that we had a great time. The food was good, and it wasn't, you know, you go to some of these and it's really long and drawn out. This one was to the point and done really well.
You know, along that line, Mike, a number of years ago, we inducted Ron Wolf from the Packers, and I got a phone call the day after the banquet. No, actually, it was a Monday after the banquet, and Ron Wolf said, I just got to tell you. He said, I made a phone call up to the people at Green Bay that run the Hall of Fame banquet at Green Bay, and I told them, if you want to see how a Hall of Fame banquet should be run, contact the people at the WFCA. He said, I've never been to a more impressive Hall of Fame banquet in my life.
Man, that's big from a guy like that who's been to a few of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was really impressed. My mom still keeps talking about it. Dan, she said, Michael, I thought this was going to be like an awards banquet at St. Peter and Paul Parish on the east side. Yeah. And I said, Ma, I think it was a little bigger. She goes, but I drove up with, you know, my brother and stuff, and driving up there, she goes, that's what I had in mind, that it would be in a little hall and there'd be, you know, 50 people there. And then I walked in and she said that was overwhelming, and how nice the people were to her, and how, again, how well it was run. She kept saying, you know, it was weird to see you sitting up at that table. I said, it was weird to be up there.
Yeah.
My wife kept saying, isn't this surreal? We should be over there. And I said, I know. So it was a really good event for us.
And by the way, Ingrid enjoyed talking with your mom that
Ingrid's
night.
The best, man. She is. She's so nice. We, when it was all done, you know, the way the McGiverns used to celebrate and the way they celebrate now is a little bit different. And she was thinking we're going to have this big Irish celebration. But, yeah, those days are over. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation with Dan Brunner. He's going to announce the 2018 WFCA Hall of Fame class, and we definitely look forward to that. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern. Alongside my co-host, he's Tom Swiddle, former head coach at Brookfield East. We are joined in studio by Dan Brunner. He's the WFCA Hall of Fame. What are you? You're the executive director?
Yeah.
I'll just say you're the whole Hall of Fame. Is that? No, man. He's the executive director, the Hall of Fame. And we're about to announce 2018 WFCA Hall of Fame class. Tom?
Well, what we're going to do, Mike, is just simply go through all of the people who have been selected for the 2018 class, and Dan will announce the name, and I will kind of fill in the blank with the information about the coaches.
All right, sounds good. We'll start with the head coaching class, and first on the docket, we have Al Minert.
Al is a longtime coach at Madison Edgewood High School. He's been there since 1992. Overall, he's been a head coach for 34 years. Al has 216 wins. Included in that are one state championship, three state runners-up. Al's teams have won five conference championships and have made 27 playoff appearances. Al has also served for the WFCA on the football advisory, the WIA football advisory. Was also the interim South Vice President of the WFCA for the last couple years. Al also coached in the All-Star Game twice, once as a South head coach in 2010 and an assistant in 2013.
All right, second inductee, another high school head coach, Paul Novinsky.
Paul has been at Mosinee High School for 20 years. He also spent some time at DC Everest. Paul has 127 wins. He's won one state championship, one state runner-up. He's got 8 conference championships and 21 playoff appearances. 4 times Paul's been honored as Conference Coach of the Year and once as District Coach of the Year. Paul coached in the All-Star game 3 times. He was the head coach in 2012 and an assistant in 1999 and 2007. And like Al, served the WFCA, and Paul served the WFCA as a district rep for 12 years.
All right, next inductee, we move to the assistant coach category. First up is Ed Carafell.
Ed Carafell has spent 36 years as an assistant coach, 27 of them at Milwaukee, Washington. He's been on the sidelines for over 200 wins. He's been a part of 9 conference championships, 14 playoff appearances. Ed was nominated by both Greg Lehman and Justin Frisky for this honor. And what struck me, and Dan, I don't know if you want to say anything about this, but what struck me when you read his nomination papers was the obvious connection that he had with his players. You know, it didn't matter if his players were from the city of Milwaukee or Pewaukee or Brookfield, all places where Ed coached, but he has formed relationships that last to the present. And what's interesting, Mike, is this is the 3rd coach from Milwaukee, Washington, that is inducted in the Hall of Fame that are from those really good Washington teams in the 80s and 90s, along with Greg Lehman and John Lehman, now Ed Carafell.
Sure. So, man, those teams were really good
really
back then.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
I'm really happy for Ed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next up, our 4th inductee, also in the assistant coach category, is Bob Detloff.
Bob Detloff, boy, you know, he was a part of 2 really successful programs at Kenosha Tremper and at Mukwonago. Bob, an assistant coach for 33 years, and 27 of them were at Mukwonago. Boy, he did a little bit of everything. He's just one of those guys that has a big resume as an assistant. He's been, you know, not only a defensive coordinator, but he's also been a head freshman and head JV coach. He coached for both Keith Hensler and Ron Davies, both of them Hall of Fame members. Bob was a part of 1 state championship, and that was Mukwonago back in 2004, and 1 state runner-up. 7 conference championships, 18 playoff appearances. Bob was honored as conference coach of the year 1 time and district coach of the year 1 time. And like all of our, I think all our nominees, it goes beyond just their coaching and football. And one of the things that you saw in Bob's paperwork was all of the numerous teacher awards that he won through the years, being nominated by students for things and winning district awards and so on.
Ron Davies just loves him. Ron Davies, you know, he talks a lot about Detloff, some of the things that he did for him as a coach, and they're really good friends.
Yeah, yeah. Very deserving.
Yeah, and like you alluded to, Tom, like most really outstanding coaches, likewise great teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and all of these guys contribute to their community in so many ways.
All right, our 5th inductee, another assistant coach, Bob Seibel.
Boy, Bob's a part of one of the most successful programs in our state at Somerset. Has worked for years with Bruce Larson there, another Hall of Fame coach. Bob is a part of 241 wins, and he's been the defensive coordinator at Somerset since 1983.
Wow.
1983. Yeah. 3 state champions, 3 state runners-up, a lot of success at Somerset, 12 conference championships. He's been the district coach of the year twice. And he was also an assistant coach in the 2012 All-Star game. But again, you know, when you're looking at assistant coaches, one of the things that we look at as a committee is, you know, the success of the program. You know, it's not the only criteria.
Correct.
But, you know, you want to honor these guys who have been at these programs that have had so much success through the years.
Yeah, and he's been the defensive coordinator since 83. Yeah. He's seen a lot of changes,
well,
man.
I mean, you know, think about that. You know, 83 kind of wing T-ish what you got going on now with the spread offense.
I was thin and good looking back then. I don't know about you boys, but.
yeah, he's adapted well over the years. Sixth inductee, again, in the assistant coach category is John Stellmacher.
John Stellmacher spent 33 years at Jefferson High School, part of 177 wins as a head coach, a defensive coordinator, a linebacker coach, and a JV and freshman coach. He was the head coach there for just a couple of years. He was the defensive coordinator for Jefferson State Championship team in 1991. Jefferson won 7 conference championships and had 14 playoff appearances. With John there, he was conference coach of the year twice and district coach of the year once. And one of the things that he wrote down that I think is very, moving. It was moving for me, and you know, probably for the two of us, the two of you as well, yeah. Because we all experienced this. But his son was born the week of the state championship in 1991, and then 18 years later, John had the opportunity to coach him in a Level 3 playoff game.
Wow.
Yeah. That is just really cool. And again, John, told the committee that this was part of him.
That's awesome. Hey guys, before we get into another one, I think we're going to need to get to a break. And instead of rushing through one, yep. let's do that. I love the fact, Tom, when you talked about, look, it's not for the, especially some of these assistant coaches, it's not all about wins and losses. Look at all the other things they've done. And when you talked about, Bob Dettlap, all the teaching awards that he won. And I just think that stuff is really important that people understand that that goes into this decision process when you guys sit down and do this stuff.
Absolutely.
Guys, let's get your break. On the other side of the break, we'll continue with Dan Brunner, Executive Director of the WFCA Hall of Fame. And we will announce the second half of the 2018 class. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. I am Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle, former head football coach at Brookfield East. We're joined in studio by the executive director of the WFCA Hall of Fame, Dan Brunner, and we're announcing the 2018 Hall of Fame class. Tom?
Well, we're going to get right back into it. Dan, go ahead.
Okay, another assistant coach, Bruce Wettenweiler.
Bruce was at Watertown High School for 29 years and 1 year at Wisconsin Heights, 168 wins as a varsity assistant coach at Watertown. He was the defensive coordinator from 1983 to 1995. Watertown had 2 semifinal appearances at state, 5 conference championships, 9 playoff appearances. And, Dan, you personally knew Bruce.
Oh, absolutely. Bruce was a right-hand man for Hall of Famer Dan Herbst during the glory years at Watertown. And he was certainly a contributor to that success. Next, we have number 8. We'll move into our combo head coach / assistant category, and we have Steve Clister.
Steve is 23 years at Wrightstown, 16 there as a head coach, 183 wins combined when you work. You look at him as a head coach and as an assistant there, 3 state championships, 10 conference championships, 20 playoff appearances. Conference Coach of the Year 4 times, District Coach of the Year 3 times, and, a multi guy again. He's coached track, basketball, and baseball along with football.
Man, Guy's got a lot of energy.
Yeah. Ninth Hall of Fame inductee will be another combo, and that's Ken Taylor.
Ken, longtime coach at Luther Prep in Watertown, 27 years there as a head coach and assistant coach, 184 wins while at Luther Prep, 3 state championships, 3 state runners-up, 13 conference championships, 20 playoff appearances, coach of the year in the conference 6 times, district coach of the year once. He was the head South All-Star coach in 2010 and an assistant in 2006.
Wow, outstanding. 10th Hall of Fame inductee. We move into our college category, and it's Lance Leipold.
Boy, when you look at Lance's numbers, it's almost embarrassing.
I know. These numbers are ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Former coach at Whitewater, currently the coach at Buffalo. His record at Whitewater, Mike, 109-6. In the conference, Lance was 53-3. He won 5 national championships in 07, 09, 10, 11, and 13. Runners-up in 08, and all of those games were against Mount Union. Lance is a Whitewater grad. He played quarterback there from 83 through 86. He also coached at Nebraska and Nebraska-Omaha. And here's something that I think is really unique. He reached 100 victories faster than any other coach in NCAA history.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's all awesome. Divisions. Fastest ever.
Those numbers are ridiculous.
Well, and Dan, you coached with Lance.
I ended my coaching career for my final 2 years. I was the tight end coach for Lance.
How unbelievable. What set him apart, Dan, in your mind?
You know what? He ran the Whitewater program, and I think Kevin Bullis, who was also on the staff, has followed his lead. He ran it like a Division I program. It's no surprise that Lance has ascended to the Division I level. That's exactly how he ran that program, and he did not micromanage. He let the coaches coach, and away they went.
Boy, that's awesome.
Well, and you know, Lance's most prized possession is a picture of himself with Dan Brunner when Dan was playing with the Packers, and Lance was what, maybe 10 years old?
I think he was 10 or 11.
There's a picture of Lance with Dan. Dan's in his Packer uniform. Here's little Lance with glasses on.
Yeah, yeah, and I got my arm around him. Yeah.
He carries it in his wallet, by the way.
Oh, I know he does. It's right next to his wedding picture.
Yeah, that's awesome.
On his mantle.
Oh.
All right, and last but not least, we move to the citation category. And that inductee will be Neil Brunner.
Without a question, Neil is widely recognized as one of the top referees in the state of Wisconsin. Neil reffed for high school football for 43 years, college for 22, and arena for 20 years. Neil was on the executive board of the Milwaukee Officials Association for 6 years. He was voted Arena Football League Man of the Year in 2006, worked 5 WIAA state championship games and 2 WISA state championship games in his career. He's had 30 consecutive years of WIAA playoff assignments. And you might remember last year we had Neil on the program. You know, he's trying to grow the profession. Right. Of officiating for football, and we had him on, and very concerned about getting young people involved in officiating, and is leading the way with that.
We need to get him back on.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I just have to say this: when I know that I had Neil Brunner and his crew for a game, I had complete confidence that everything was going to go right. And you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
When you see certain guys walk in the gym, Mike, I'm sure you're like, oh, my God, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But never with Neil.
And then there's other groups that you're just like, yes, good, here we go.
Exactly.
Yeah, Neil got any famous brothers or anything?
You and a couple of them.
Good-looking brothers? Or
there's a Tony that I know of.
Yeah, Tony. But, you know, Mike, you and I, we have that in common where we have that famous older brother.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you guys sound a lot alike, and it's interesting because when I didn't know him, but I was doing a Thursday Night Lights game, I heard the voice, I turned, And I went, oh, man, you got to be Brunner's brother. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, I get that a lot. So,
and talking about 30 years of WIAA playoff assignments, you know, coaches rate you. You get rated. You get, and you know, you only get those if you are at the top of the list in terms of that.
Did he ever do any of the games you were when you were coaching?
Was not allowed.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm so proud of Neil's nomination because of the obvious conflict of interest. I was never able to nominate him. And you know, fortunately, you know, other coaches feel similar to the way Tom did and nominated him.
Man, that's awesome. I think that's a really cool story. What did you guys have one brother's a coach and one is a referee? I can't imagine what Thanksgiving was like. You gotta say, do you know this group, man, that guy's great or that guy's horrible.
Oh yeah, those discussions took place. Yeah,
I bet they did.
And now we're into our we have two more awards to announce.
Yeah. And we've got the Dave McLean Distinguished Service Award, and that this year will go to Peter Derleaf.
Peter, Ripon Athletics, that company has been so involved with the WFCA through the years, Mike. They for you know, just one of the many things they do for us, they donate all the uniforms for the All-Star Game. You know, Peter's dad, Hank, also won this award and is just – what a great football family. And if you ever get the opportunity to tour Ripon, you have to do it. It is eye-opening. It is absolutely eye-opening.
We had Peter on last year.
We did.
And his passion came through. You know, his love for that All-Star game and what that means. They are so invested in it. Like, emotionally, I love the fact that he's getting in. And, you know, that he doesn't have big shoes to fill with that Dave McLean Award. I tell you that.
Oh,
he's going to look awfully good.
And then we have the Dick and Margie Rundle Power of Positive Influence of Coaching Award, and that's going to Paul Engen.
Paul is absolutely one of the most widely recognized coaches in our state. I think he was a two-time president of the WFCA. And the thing that you know, I haven't dealt with Paul, you know, all that much, but everything he does, Mike, is with class. Everything. He's kind of a soft-spoken guy, but he just gets things done.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, we've got about a minute or two left. For the people that may have missed the first segment, can you just go, just list, you don't have to go tell the definition of each of them, but just list everybody again for us, Dan. Starting with number one and going right through it.
Yeah, I'll go right through it. Al Minert, Paul Novinsky, Ed Carafel, Bob Detloff, Bob Seibel, John Stellmacher, Bruce Wittenweiler, Steve Clister, Ken Taylor, Lance Leipold, and Neil Brunner.
And then the Dave McLean Award?
Dave McLean will go to Peter Derleaf, and the Dick and Margie Rundle Positive Influence Award goes to Paul Engen.
This is a really good class, guys. When you look at the class and you look at the people and some of the, not only the head coaches, but assistant coaches, and when you talk about Lance Leipold being in, and you guys did a really good job on this.
And we just have one more quick announcement, the National Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Okay, and we're honored to have two members being inducted into the National High School Athletic Coaches Association Hall of Fame. So this is nationwide. And we have Dan Peterson from Elk Mound, former head coach at Elk Mound, and another guy that all of us know very well, Tom Taraska from Arrowhead.
That's awesome. That's really good. I don't know Dan, but certainly know Coach Taraska, and well-deserved for him. I like that. They'll good for them. And I know Taraska will enjoy that, and it's just deserved. He's been around the game at a high level, highly successful, and he's nicer now than he used to be, by the way. Yeah, if he's listening, you know I'm right, Coach. You know you're a lot nicer now than you used to be. So that's awesome. Dan, great job. I really appreciate you coming in. Can you stick around as we reach out to Al Minert?
Sure.
Good. We're going to reach out to the head football coach at Madison Edgewood. He his name was number one on the list, and we're going to congratulate him, and we'll reach out to him on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association.
Thanks, Jeff. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Just got done announcing the 2018 WFCA Hall of Fame class. We are joined in studio, Tom Swiddle and I, with Dan Brunner, the executive director. Man, what a great day for a bunch of people. You know, again, we talked about you announcing this and what a great class it is. I just think it's a really good day for a lot of well-deserved guys that have put a lot of time into the game of football.
Anybody that I've talked to after they've been selected, the one thing I say to everybody is, you know, this will be the best day of your life almost. I mean, you're going to have the greatest time. Your family's going to have a great time. And you just, when you're up there, it's just different than being in the crowd watching it.
You know, you told me that last year, and I lived it. I lived through it. And it was really, we still talk about this a lot. And I could not agree with you more. If you haven't been up there, you're going to have the time of your life. And it's just a really cool couple hours where you feel like you're kind of walking, you know, on air a little bit. And again, for us, Terry and I, to be sitting at that front table, for my wife to say, this feels surreal. I don't know if we're supposed to be up here. We are joined by the head football coach at Madison Edgewood, Al Minard, who is 2018 Hall of Fame member. Al Minard, how you doing, Coach?
I'm doing awesome. It certainly is a great honor. Very, very excited. So thankful for the Coaches Association that we have and how it's been built for such a really long time. And to be, and sharing that legacy is just a humbling and an awesome experience.
Al, I have to share with you, at the committee meeting, you know, we're going through the names and the nominations and things, and Dan Brunner looks at me and says, "Al Minard, I thought he was already in."
that's exactly right, Al. I mean, I think we just take your excellence for granted sometimes, both on the field, off the field, as a member of the association and the advisory committee, et cetera. And so congratulations, so well deserved.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I think back to my first experiences in the Wisconsin Association when I first went to Holy Name Seminary, and was fortunate enough to win the state championship right away at a really small school, but some really great people that were there. And then the old WISA days, we had selection committees that reps from different conferences came. And I'm a pretty young guy. There and on this committee are people: Ron Klistinski, Walt Kroll, Dick Basham, and to be able to have those type of guys in the same room, kind of rubbing elbows and mentoring young coaches like me, and then to get to work at Wisconsin camps and room with Tom Taraska and people like that. You know, there's been some great things that are part of our association, but obviously the greatest is the relationships that you develop, not only with your own players, but the fellow coaches and teachers.
Well, and talking about, you know, the association and all the different parts of that, but boy, Al, you look at some of the things that you've done. You've been on the football advisory since, I think, 2000. You were the Southern vice president. You're somebody who I think has given a lot back to the game of football with your leadership in those roles.
Well, I think, you know, one thing you always try to stress to the kids, the concept of servant leadership, and the old saying, the most successful people are the people that help the most people. And so, service has always been a big part of it. And I've always wanted to do whatever I can to help. And, I've been really honored to work with guys like you on the advisory committee. And, you know, again, I've been doing it for a long time. I go back, you know, when I was at Holy Name Seminary, the Wisconsin Badgers, that's where they practiced. And some of the graduate assistants on that first staff when I was there were Dave Anderson, Mick Miyamoto, and John O'Grady. And, of course, they were the ones that were willing to talk to young assistant high school coaches. Otherwise, they're like, just get your guys out of our way.
Yeah.
We were sharing facility, and so we had to kind of practice around the Badger practice times.
Sure. So. Well, I read a long list of accomplishments when we announced your name earlier on the program. But from your perspective, what are some of the highlights you look towards as you sort of reminisce about your career?
Well, you know, I think first of all, I just look at how proud I am of my family and their role in it. I sort of feel a little bit like a dinosaur in being in the profession this long, and I see so many really good young coaches leave. And I was so fortunate to have a wife raise three kids while I was in the middle of all this. And, you know, so my wife, Sylvia, just been an awesome rock. And all of our kids have played a major role. It's really been a family type of thing. My daughter, Sophia, you know, started with, you know, being water girl and then quality control at youth football camps and eventually cut up film and was around all those interviews, which obviously has transitioned into a nice job for her. And then both of my boys played for me and again did the whole water boy thing. And we had some really successful years when my kids were playing with me. So I will always remember the great times of coaching my own kids and the success that we had during that time. The other thing would be the volume of assistant coaches that I've had and who've gone on to become, you know, good high school football coaches. Dave Richardson was assistant with me way back at Holy Name Seminary. Travis Rohr, very successful high school head coach, got his start with me. And I've just had really outstanding young men play for me and that have, you've got several that are in the college coaching profession now. So I guess I look at, you know, being able to open doors for other kids in other ways. But, you know, the thing that I'm also know is so many of the kids that have been coached at Holy Name and Edgewood have gone on to be just great people in their community and great leaders and husbands and fathers.
You know, I love the fact that you talked about your wife and family through this because all of us have coached in one sport or another, been a basketball coach a long time, and we couldn't do this without the support, I don't think, from, you know, from our wife and our family and our kids. If they're not invested in what we're doing, because it is a full-time, it's another full-time job at times when we're doing this. Al, I love the fact that you right away brought up your wife and kids.
No, and like I said, you know, I don't know, you know, I guess in some ways with, you know, back then it was a little easier. I dragged the kids to the weight room and that type of thing. And so their summers were, you know, and they always knew the reward was like pizza afterwards or something. And then, you know how they organize all the equipment checkout. That was their job to help, you know, go in and organize things. Of course, then they would dress up and build forts with dummies and stuff like that. But again, you know, my wife was the rock that was allowed me to be gone as often as I was and to make sure the kids got everywhere they needed to be. And so, you know, that's just another important piece. The other thing I think to be at a one place, you know, I've been at Edgewood for 25 years now, and I've had the same AD for 25 years, and I've had the same we've gone through different administrators, but my AD, Chris Swetler, has been awesome to work for. And again, anybody that's been in the coaching profession knows that you need to have people at the top that have your back and really respect what you do and encourage what you do and that you can work well with. And so I've been really blessed to have great people in the administration at Edgewood and in particular, Chris Wetler is my athletic director.
Boy, that makes a world of difference, boys. We all know that. So, Al, congratulations. Really well-deserved. What a great day for you and your family, and you'll have a good time up in Middleton. Over, I guess. I guess it's not up in Middleton for you, is it? It's over to Middleton.
No, it's about a 5 mile drive.
Oh man, you won't be getting a room, will you?
No, man. Last year,
I don't know if I want to tax the Coaches Association that way.
That's awesome, Al. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
No, thanks to the association, and thanks to you guys for doing this program and helping promote high school football in Wisconsin. And, I, again, very humbled, but super excited, you know, for myself, all the players that have played for me, the coaches that have coached with me, and the Edgewood and Holy Name community.
That's awesome. Al, thank you so much.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Al.
Guys, let's get your break. Other side of the break, Chris Williams. He's the head coach and director of football operations for the Green Bay Blizzard. Talking a little indoor football on the other side of the break. I've got some, you know, I work for the Mustangs.
You did
for
work for
years.
The Mustangs, yeah.
So I got a few things to talk to Chris about. I think it's a fun game, and I'm hoping,
sure is.
You know, I hope they market it the right way up Green Bay. I looked at their roster. They got a couple Wisconsin kids. We need to get him to give some Wisconsin boys a another shot. Your son's got a little eligibility left. He can still throw it.
You know, he can throw it all right.
He can throw it. Maybe they're looking for a quarterback.
I don't know about how that would fly with his wife, though.
We'll call her next.
or Central Michigan that he's, you know,
Yeah. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He's Tom Swiddle, former head football coach at Brookfield East, former past president of the WFCA, and he is a WFCA Hall of Fame member. Our next guest, he is the head football coach and director of football operations for the Green Bay Blizzard, part of the Indoor Football League. He is Chris Williams. Hey, Coach, thanks a lot for a couple minutes of your time. How you doing?
I'm all right, guys. How you doing? Mike, Coach, you guys, appreciate you guys having me home.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime throughout this conversation, you can Google GreenBayBlizzard.com for more information. This team, established in 2003, professional indoor football league based in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Coach, how long have you been part of the Blizzard?
I've been here for the last 2 years. I've been an Oriole football coach for actually since the year 2000. So we're going on 17 years of coaching arena football, but came in here and, you know, been charged with the task of rebuilding a program that's had some issues here over the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 seasons. And, you know, we feel like we're making some strides, and hopefully going into year 3, we'll turn a corner.
That's awesome. Coach, I was the first director of sales and marketing for the Milwaukee Mustangs when they were here in Milwaukee at the Bradley Center. It's a long time ago. And, man, I fell in love with the game. I think it's a great game if you're a fan of football and you like to come out, watch some high-scoring action. It really is, I think, a sport that if you put a quality product on the field that people come watch.
That's definitely the case. I mean, it's a like you said, it's a fun game. I mean, it's a fast moving game. It happens at that time of the year where people are looking for their football fix, and you know, so if you're in the right community where people really love the game and don't mind following, it's a great game to watch. And you know, for us, for myself, I mean, I love the game just simply because you get all the aspects of football. You get your recruiting of high level athletes. You get your, you know, dealing with, you know, NFL people when it comes to scouting of these players, because most of these guys are here to get film and continue to, you know, try to chase the dream of playing at the highest level. So we get everything we're looking for, and hopefully here soon we'll get this right.
Hey, Coach, real quick, where did you grow up? And give us your background where you went to high school, where you went to college, stuff like that?
I'm originally from Mobile, Alabama, which is on the very, very southern side of Alabama. I went to a school called McGill-Tulin Catholic High School, which is a 7A high school there in the state of Alabama, which, you know, really good program there. Just recently won the state championship, you know, here this past season. So come from a pretty good college, high school background, and went on. I was a fullback and went on to play my college football at Louisiana Monroe. And after that, I did some of the same things these kids here do. You chase the dream a little bit in a couple of different places, and one of my college coaches got me into coaching and high school ball, and went from there to arena football.
Coach, one of the things, and you've already mentioned it, these are players on your roster, on your team, that are, you know, their dream is to play in the NFL. There's no question about that. And when I look at your roster, I see players from, you know, some of the biggest, big name college programs out there. You really have a wide background or wide selection of players that have somehow fallen into Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's right. I mean, we do a really, really, you know, detailed job in the off season of recruiting. We don't block anything when it comes to players that we look at. I mean, we're all over the country in that process, and we're trying to find guys that are really trying to chase a dream. I mean, it's, you know, these guys don't make $1 million playing, but at the end of the day, you're just hoping to find guys with that dream and that are going to come and play for you with a certain type of, you know, desire and the edge to play the game. And, you know, so we do have access to a lot of people. Over the years, we've built up, you know, really good relationships with different college coaches and have been able to tap into some of that. And from where we are now, I mean, in the stage we're at, you know, and not to ramble, but in the stage that we're at in our program, we're really trying to establish, you know, relationship with the people here in Wisconsin, the colleges here in Wisconsin. And we've got very few guys on our roster from schools in this state. And we feel like, you know, with us being the only arena football team here in the state of Wisconsin, and we just got to do a better job of creating those relationships and having access to those kids and even you know, letting those kids know that there's an option here in Green Bay if they're still searching to play.
You just made my co-host very happy with that statement.
Yeah, really happy. Coach,
really?
I got to tell you, with all the high school stuff that I do, and we talk to college football coaches a lot, and my passion is to have our kids from the state of Wisconsin get a chance to play at the next level. I think it's really important, and for you to say that, I think is really important, and to be on a show like this, where we have, you know, college and high school coaches from around the state that listen to it, you know, I think it's important that when the head football coach and the director of football operations for the Green Bay Blizzard, when Chris Williams talks about that, you know, I think, look, if you're a college coach and you don't know Chris, reach out to him. He'll take your call. And it's important that you know, we keep and we give some kids a chance, like he says, that they're still chasing the dream. You know, this is a chance for you to continue to play after college and play in Green Bay. You guys play across the street from Lambeau Field, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Our facilities are here, you know, right across the street, and we do have a good relationship with those guys over there. You know, guys like Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Hotsmith that are in the personnel department over there do a good job of scouting our people. We just had a kid, you know, wide receiver this past week, go and work out for him, and hopefully that'll work out well for him. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, I mean, that's the reason why I was so excited about coming on this show. And I've been looking forward to this, you know, for the last month and a half, is just the fact that I have a chance to preach our message a little bit to the college coaches and for that matter, even the high school coaches here in Wisconsin. I mean, I spent about 10 years of my arena football career coaching in the state of Texas. And I was in Odessa. The city I was in was Odessa. And, you know, we spent those 10 years really, really, really developing good relationships with all the D1, 2, and 3 colleges in Texas, and we were able to build a great program because of that. And you know, that's one of the things I recognize here when I got here. I mean, we're not necessarily even getting, you know, we get calls. I mean, we recruit, but we also get calls of people just trying to feel us out, and a lot of those calls aren't coming from within the state of Wisconsin, from college kids. And so, you know, I just think we got to win this state first. And there's a lot of good football players here. There's a lot of guys that I see that I would love to be able to get my hands on. But, you know, we're a little bit slow in that process. And that's, like I said, that's why I'm excited for this, for you guys giving me this opportunity.
Well, Chris, if we can get to a break, can we hold you over for one more segment?
Not a problem at all.
That's great. We're talking to Chris Williams. He's the head football coach and director of football operations for the Green Bay Blizzard. And what he's saying, I know the people that listen to the show are really happy about. You know, he understands that he's got to recruit and get guys from all over the country, but he's trying to do a better job of keeping our kids home. And to take a listen to him, and if you get a chance, go to their website and just take a look at some of the stuff that they have to offer. If you've not been to an indoor football game, do yourself a favor. Go to one. If you go to one, I'm telling you, you'll be hooked. It is a fast-paced game. They do a lot with the crowd. There's stuff going on all over the place. I know, Chris, when I was with the Mustangs, we had some really, really good, at halftime-type promotions, between quarter promotions, where we're getting the fans involved, and I think we did a really good job doing that. So I'm sure that the Blizzard does the same thing.
We do. Our front office people, and I remember those days of the Mustangs. I'm trying to recall some of the names. I think I remember the name. Was the quarterback's name Savage there? I can't remember.
What was his name?
The last name was Savage, I believe. They had a really good quarterback there. I remember those days.
Man, that first year, we didn't win a game. And we had some guys that could play. In fact, John Forkett played quarterback at times. We had some receivers. Yeah. That were awfully. Gary Compton who's still in this area. He was a Texas boy, one of the best receivers I think ever to play in indoor football, and just a really good guy. I get a chance to see him every once in a while. Hey, let's get to a break. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Williams on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save WFCA show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host Tom Swiddle. We are joined by the head football coach and director of football operations with the Green Bay Blizzard. He is Chris Williams. Again, for more information on the Blizzard, you can go greenbayblizzard.com. Hey, Chris, I was on your website this morning. We have some work to do on that website, young man. We need right?
I've heard that before. I mean, I don't spend a whole lot of time on it, but I know our front office is talking about doing some different things over the offseason here, so I think you're going to see that improve here pretty soon.
Yeah, please do, and if they have any questions, there's they can call me. We've got some people here at the radio station that could really help them, but I think it's important that we get that website updated and made it look as good as we can. Hey, Chris, when you're in the offseason for you, what are you guys normally like working players out, contacting players? What is the off season like for somebody like you?
Well, we'll start here. You know, we just ended our season back on June 10th, and so we're in the middle of what we call our 2-week downtime, and then we'll come back and we'll start digging into what we use is the NFL database, and so we'll dip into that and look for guys who have maybe been in mini camps and were cut, and we'll watch these upcoming training camps and watch that stuff. And then we'll just directly contact, certain guys that fit, different criteria, that positions that we're looking for. And we kind of like to base ourselves on need. And so we'll kind of determine what we feel like we need. And then we'll start attacking the recruiting from that point. And then we'll take a few trips, and we'll even end it up with doing some different free agent workouts down during the Senior Bowl, which just happens to be down in my hometown in Mobile. And we've got a good connect where we go in there and work out a lot of free agents, and it's pretty detailed. I mean, all the coaches are involved in it. I mean, we're traveling all over the place. We're having guys come in here, so we're doing our best to build it.
Coach, when you're looking at players, what is like key ingredients for the players you're looking at? Is it versatility? Is it, you know, do you have guys that might play not just offense but also offense and defense? I mean, what kind of guys are you looking for in that way?
You know, we obviously look for versatility because then we only play with a 25-man roster, so you end up with, you know, if you we do two platoon it, and so we, you know, guys are specialized, but you know, if somebody gets hurt, you're only one or two injuries away from, you know, say a wide receiver having to jump over and play defensive back. So you try to, you know, find that athleticism in the kid when you're breaking them down on film and stuff, and we'll do that at every spot. But the main thing is, you know, I keep saying it, but the main thing is just having guys, you know what this is. I mean, a lot of times we'll make these phone calls, and you know, and the kids really don't have a really good feel for what arena football is. Or, you know, a lot of them, you know, see it as, you know, hey, it's 50 yards. I mean, it's not quite, you know, what I'm used to. And, you know, so that some of them may be turned off to that. But what I try to explain to kids is that if you have the dream of playing in the NFL and you need more film, you know, in this country, I mean, this is the arena football is a legitimate way in the United States to get, you know, good quality, respectable film. So we spend a lot of time explaining it to kids and you know, get them to kind of understand what it is and how it can help them. So, you know, I guess the main thing would be to, you know, find guys that are interested in actually, you know, actually taking a look at it.
Boy, Coach, looking at the teams in your league, that's a lot of travel for you. The Iowa Barnstormers were part of the league when the Mustangs, when I was there, and we went to a game there, and by the time, I think we're 7 minutes late, we're down 21-0 already, and that place was rocking. They don't still play in that really closed-in kind of small venue that they used to, do they?
No, they play downtown now in what's called the Wells Fargo Arena. So
okay.
They've got themselves a, you know, 20,000-seat arena. But,
wow.
But just like you said, it's still loud. I mean, you know, they'll still pack 12,000 people in there, and they're ringing the cowbells and that whole thing.
So yeah.
It's a really, really good environment. That's one of the flagships of arena ball. I mean, the Kurt Warner story, everybody knows that one. And, you know, and there's even some cases where he's showed up at some of the games this past year. And, you know, so they're really, really behind their team. And, you know, that's what you look for. You want that kind of environment, you know, and that's why they've lasted so long.
Who was the best team in the league this year, Coach?
Right now you've got, you know, there's the Arizona Rattlers, you know, who you're probably familiar with.
Yep, yeah.
They've got a really good team out there on the West Coast. And then there's the Sioux Falls Storm, who have won the last six championships in our league. So they've got it rolling. They've got a really good program, really good facilities. I mean, all the ancillary things that, like you talk about, websites and all the things that help attract guys, they've just really got it rolling. So but I would expect to see those two teams play for the championship this year.
Well, Coach, our hope and dream for you is that you get to that level. And I can tell you this, I've lived in state of Wisconsin my entire life, and I'm about as old as they get, I think. And I'm telling you, if you turn this program around and you start winning a lot of games, people are going to come. And, you know, I really believe that once you get them through the door, they're going to be fans for life. And they'll start wearing your gear around town. They'll start showing up for every game. Your season ticket base will go up, and then you'll start rolling. The owners then will free up a little money for you to do some of the things that you need to do.
I certainly hope you're right. I mean, if there's any place to do it, Green Bay will be the place. And you know, and to be honest with you, so far, I mean, there is a base here. You know, we just got, like you said, to get that whole community rocking about it.
Yeah.
Is what we're shooting for.
Well, you play in a wonderful facility in the rec center. That's just beautiful.
It is, truly.
Hey, Coach, thank you so much. Coach Swill and I are going to get up and see you guys
absolutely.
Play next year.
Thanks so much for being on, Coach.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
You bet. Again, Chris Williams, head football coach and director of football operations for your Green Bay Blizzard. If you haven't been to a game, get up there and support these guys. He's working hard. His staff is working hard, and the community is behind him. Tom, thank you so much. It's good to see you. What a great show today.
Super show.
Man, we get a chance to talk to Chris Williams, get a chance to talk to Tony Rush, talk to Hall of Fame members. Man, thanks for putting this together.
You bet.
Thanks for listening. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. As always, we're presented by raising the stakes, fundraising, and leadership development. We're on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.